Well, good morning. Amazing love, right? Wow, do we have so much to praise God for, right? You know, you may be saying, man, Pastor Aaron's up there in a t-shirt today, but this is just no t-shirt. Phil had these made, pray for Ukraine. You know, we see t-shirts all the time with neat slogans on them, encouraging words on them. But this t-shirt, the words on it are absolutely necessary and true. Amen? Amen. So, hey, if you have a Pray for Ukraine shirt on, I want you to come up here and stand with me right now. So, come on up here if you have a Pray for Ukraine shirt on. All right. So, I want to thank all of you tuning in today in live stream. And, of course, these messages are recorded. Well, I want us to be especially praying for Phil, who's going to Romania tomorrow. And I know, Phil, if God permits, if God wills, we'll try to get over to the border, if not cross the border into Ukraine, and be praying for those that he's ministered to so many times. Roseline, will you come up here as well? So we want to say to you guys gathering, are we on the screen there, Claire? Gathering. You're going to be seeing this from Phil. All of you in Romania, I want you to know we're here at EC Grace. We love you. Our brothers and sisters there, we're praying for you. We are not going to abandon you before the throne of God. We are going to go and we're going to continually pray for the Eastern Bloc countries there in Europe. And if Phil gets to get into the Ukraine, I want you to know we are praying for you in a mighty way. We trust God. We trust you in his care. We pray for your boldness. We pray for your courage. We see you. We know you as our brothers and sisters. We love you, but we do not love you near like Christ loves you. He knows what's going on, and he has you in his care. We're praying for you. So I'd like Roseline to come here. A pastor in Ukraine who just got here, he was able to flee Ukraine prior to the attack. His wife and children are here. Brother, if you would open us up, it's the blue. If you would open us up in prayer this morning, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor. Lord, you said once to your servant and prophet Ezekiel, groan bitterly with a broken heart because of the news that is coming. And this is the same kind of emotions that we have right now, knowing what is going on in Ukraine. We groan bitterly with broken hearts. And we ask you, Lord, knowing that you are servant, and you are great God, that you will arise as God in your power and in your mighty, and that in all these sufferings and punishments you will reveal your mercy and grace for the rescue and salvation of our nation and our country. So we wait on you. We ask you, don't be late. And let those who are your enemies that put or clothe themselves in lies, in cruelty, in arrogance, will be ashamed by you. And let those who are righteous through faith in Jesus Christ and who ask you and beseech you, and we, Lord, we appreciate this family of God. We appreciate your grace to our family that we can be here in safety among your people, and that you open their hearts to pray for your people in Ukraine and for all the people in Ukraine. So let us one day be comforted and rejoice together because of your good and in time answers. Let your name be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, we know that prayer is powerful. Amen? Amen. Well, here we are. We're back together, which means Christ has not returned yet. And until he does, we're going to keep gathering, we're going to keep worshiping him, and keep serving him. You know, as next week, we will end the Hosea Wisdom for Our Age series. We have seen over the past few weeks that the wise person will make knowing God the praise and passion of their life. The wise person will make loyalty to God the aim of their life. And the wise person will make sowing to the Spirit the choice of their life. I hope and pray each day for you as the body, and for myself, that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to accomplish these wisdom principles in us. This week, our message is entitled, Steps Down or Steps Up. Steps Down or Up. You know, as children of God, we always want to take the steps necessary in our spiritual growth and our spiritual walk in pleasing the Lord. I want to take the steps God would have me take. How about you? Amen. Today we're going to see something as we are closing this series as we continue to look at Israel. We're going to see that Israel took four very identifiable steps downward. Identifiable downward steps that led to the sad chastening hand of God in their life. Four steps downward that led to their spiritual fall. In fact, we're going to see today that it is these same four steps that plague us today if Satan could attack us. We're going to see that Israel, they ultimately rebelled and forgot God's word. The very word of God. So we have seen the last three wisdom principles: knowing God, loyalty to God, sowing to the Spirit of God. Now the fourth wisdom principle I'm going to lay out right out front that we see today is the wise person will make the word of God the path of their life. And you're going to see next week with the fifth wisdom principle that all of these hinge on the fifth wisdom principle. But God can change and utilize these principles in our life if we'll just follow him. Again, these are all choices, right, with consequence. Sowing wickedness or sowing righteousness, choosing fertile ground or fallow ground, loyalty or disloyalty, knowing God or choosing not to know him. The key is the word of God as your path. It's the word of God as our path. You know, when the wise man becomes the fool of not following the very words of God, these four things we see today will become his downward steps as well. So we need to say, Lord, let me glean today this wisdom, and let me apply the positive side to my life. It surely must have broken when you think about Hosea's heart. Imagine Hosea, how his heart must have broken as he saw Israel being carried away, slaughtered by the Assyrians, and exiled into chains out of the promised land that God brought them to, all because of their harlotry, all because of their idolatry, meaning all because of their faithlessness, their unfaithfulness to their Lord. They're turning from God's word. But as we saw last week, what was ultimately happening? They were sowing to the wind, and now they're reaping the whirlwind of the seeds they planted of sin that took full growth and sprouted out and now covers their harvest field. The sown that they have sown for two centuries, way back at the beginning, since that first king, Jeroboam. And we saw how it started with Solomon and how God ripped the kingdom away. So let's look at this fourth wisdom principle today and apply it to our life. Lord, I just thank you for your words. I thank you, Lord, that you give us your word because you are holy, you are perfect, and you demand and deserve all glory. Yet, Lord, your word is a love letter to us, filled with warnings so that we may not stumble, and filled with hope that we may have what we could never have, the great salvation that you offer. Lord, it is the word that guides our life and lights our path, instructs us, rebukes us, corrects us, encourages us, motivates us, teaches us what is right, teaches us what is wrong. Lord, these are your words, and I pray today, Lord, that we will listen intently to you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for saving us. In your name we pray. Amen, Jesus. All right. So, when the Word of God, everyone, is not the path of your life, this will become the result. Just like it did for Israel. The very first step down, they forgot God's grace. They forgot God's grace. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt, and you are not to know any God except me, for there is no Savior besides me. I cared for you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. As they had their pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, their heart became proud. They forgot me. God brought them out of the land of Egypt in his great love into the green pastures of the promised land. Deuteronomy 7:6-7, it was the gracious love of God. The gracious love of God that, what happened? Was Israel, did they merit God's love? No. Just like the gospel, God chose them to be his people and then redeemed them out of slavery by no merit of their own. There was nothing in themselves to warrant such love, to warrant such a blessing, such grace. Listen to Deuteronomy. We're going to be in a lot of Bible today, but I like being in the Bible. You like being in the Bible? That's why we're Eagle Creek Grace Bible Church. Let's let God's word speak. Listen to Deuteronomy 6:10-13. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. Wow, here it is. It was the very gracious love of God that then blessed them abundantly in the land. Remember, we talked about Israel's blessing is in the land or out of the land, the curse. Blessed them with cities that God said they did not build, goods that they did not fill, houses full of goods, cisterns already hewn which they did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which they did not plant. Therefore, God's saying, listen up Everything you have and everything I brought you to is by my grace. It's from me. God told them by his words to watch themselves that they not forget the Lord and what he has done. Oh, my word, when the word of God is not the path in our life, how quickly we forget God's grace. They had Deuteronomy at this time. They had the words of Moses given them by God, yet they neglected those words. They neglected God's words, and they forgot God's words. You know, when the word is the path of your life, you will be reminded again and again and again who butters your bread, who actually bakes your bread. Right on, that is the Lord. You will never say in your heart when God's word is your path, it was because of my righteousness, my strength, because it was not. Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. It's not for your righteousness or for the uprightness of your heart that you're going to possess the land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations. Here we see his covenant love all the way. It's not because of you. It's not because of what you've done. Because of me, God says. Here is a key wisdom principle that being in the Word will do for you. The wise person who truly knows God and makes his word their path will never fail to remember, thank, and praise God for his saving grace and for his multiplied, undeserved, unmerited blessing. I just stepped into the perch today. Gabe was speaking about that, our blessing we have in the United States. Are we not blessed? Do we deserve it? To guard against forgetting his grace in your life, you have to read his word every day. It sounds like a broken record. I'm not bringing you anything overwhelmingly original. We don't need to reinvent the wheel of God's ways of working in our life. And I don't mean the Bible verse of the day, everybody. I don't mean that you get up in the morning and you read your one verse from Daily Bread, say your quick prayer, and bolt. As good as those things are to have in our life, I mean be in the Word with real daily time in the Word. To be in the Word with the Holy Spirit. And when you're doing that, you're building your relationship with Christ. It is one of the major ways, everybody, the Holy Spirit transforms us. It's through the Word of God. We can't neglect that, right? So right away, if you're already dozing, I just got started, you might want to stand up and walk to the back so that you can honor the Lord as we hear his word. So as an aid to your memory, I want to suggest you a few things. To aid our memory, when we're in God's word, let's do a few. This week, I want you to do this exercise when you're in God's word. An aid to your memory. Let me suggest, while in the word, go to the cross and go there often. Go to the cross often. In your mind, in your heart. Look at the one who died for us, who suffered and bled and died and paid the price for us, that he might redeem you, that he might wash away your sins. Spend some time with the Lord at Calvary. There, written in red, which is the blood he shed, are the words, I love you. I love you. How can we forget his grace when we travel to the cross? Oh, that we would shed more tears of gratitude to our Lord. The joy, never forget like Israel forgot God's grace. I want you to remember something back at Thanksgiving. Gratitude starts in the heart, and it works its way out in the action of thanksgiving. Therefore, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen? And every now and then, after you go to the cross, while you're in the word, go to hell. Go to hell. And remind yourself of what he has saved you from. We never go to hell in our minds. How can man know why they need salvation if they do not know what they need saved from? Do we really comprehend this utter, eternal separation of the very presence of Almighty God in torment in hell because of our sin? You remember Jesus took us to hell when he showed us the rich man there in agony. The sorrows and agony of Israel, everybody, in losing their homeland and loved ones at the hands of the Assyrians because of their unfaithfulness, it will never, nor can it ever be compared to the eternal sorrow and the eternal agony of the Christ-rejecting sinner who rejects Jesus Christ and falls into the hands of God's judgment. Oh, God is love, but God is just. God cannot go against his very character and his very attributes. He demands holiness. He demands perfection. And we failed. We stumble. We cannot accomplish that. But rather than take on our just and deserved punishment, we just traveled to the cross. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And he says, I'm not just going to save you from something. I'm going to save you unto something. I'm not just going to save you from hell. I'm going to save you unto me. I'm going to make you a kingdom citizen. I'm going to adopt you as my son and daughter. I'm going to regenerate you and make you a new creation. And I'm going to live in you and seal you with my Holy Spirit. Oh, the grace of God. People prefer to want to think about Jesus in only one way. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And he said he didn't come at that time to judge the world, but to save the world. But one day he will come back and rule. And he will judge. People prefer to not want to think of these words from our Lord and Savior when he said, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Life is an eternal life issue. We either have life, John says, we either have the Son or we don't. When we really think about hell, that Jesus spoke more about hell than he ever did about eternal life, because he loves mankind. He wants no man to go there. He wants you to receive him. What a thought. Yet more than a thought, a real place for those who reject the word of God by rejecting his Son, by rejecting his grace. And we, amen, have been saved from this. Boom. Right? Are you thankful? Man, saved from this. So while you're in the Word, not forgetting God's grace, go to the cross often and go to the hell a couple times. But then travel on up out of there, because that's not where you're going to be. And go to heaven. Go to heaven and gaze there at your Savior and the wonder at the mansions that will be yours, just like Israel, that you did not build, the streets of gold that you did not lay, the glory that you do not deserve, the riches that you have not earned, and most of all, gaze at your loving Savior who showered you with his matchless grace and love in your reunification. Do you dream about that day? Do you meditate about that day? Go to the cross, then go see what God saved you from, and go to heaven. You will not forget God's grace, but you must make the Word of God the path of your life. So when the Word of God is not the path of your life, we will see another result. Step one, they forgot God's grace. The next step down, they magnified themselves. How many of you live in a home like that where you're constantly magnifying yourself? Hosea 13:6 says, they had their pasture, they became satisfied, and being satisfied, their heart became proud. Therefore, they forgot me. Whoa! He's actually quoting something 700 years earlier in Deuteronomy 8:14 when they were about to enter the promised land, where it says, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, there we go again, and to fear him. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord. God who brought you out of from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Wow. Moses again warned them that if they failed to keep God's word first in their life and they failed to remember his grace towards them and his blessings, pride was going to set in. Pride was going to set in. Again, they had the very words of Moses. They had this words of God. They forgot the Lord's word. We must remember that when the word of God is the path of your life, you will be reminded again and again who gets the glory for your blessings. You cannot be in God's word and escape who gets the glory. You will remain exactly in the posture of your station, a posture of humility before God Almighty. Isn't that where our hearts are supposed to be, humbly bowing before the Lord? When God's word is your path, you will take downward steps like Israel when it's not your path and begin to say in your heart like Israel, you'll start to say, my power and my strength of my hand made me this wealth. You will start to take great pride in your abilities and in your talents, the very talents God gave you, and in arrogance as you escape God's daily word in your life, you will start to magnify yourself. Then pride will swell up in you as you magnify yourself rather than the Lord. This pride, everyone, plagued Israel. The pride of Israel led them to stumbling. Listen to Hosea 5:5. Moreover, the pride of Israel testifies against him, and Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also has stumbled in them. What's Proverbs 16:18 say? Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. The pride of Israel kept them from turning and seeking God when he begged them to. It kept them from seeking God for his power and God's strength in their life. They were so full of themselves, they did not think they needed God. Wow. Have you ever heard of the foxhole Christian? He don't need God. His whole life until bombs rain down, then he's in the foxhole. That's when he needs him. I'm telling you, we need God, his power, and his strength 24/7. They were so full of themselves, they could work things out themselves. Pride comes flooding into our life. And before we know it, when God's word is not our path, we become like senseless, silly doves, God says. Silly doves. Silly, senseless doves. They, Israel, like senseless, silly doves, called for the captivity of Egypt, and they found it in Assyria. Instead of humbly remembering the Lord and turning back to Him, their true source of power and strength. You know, in Leviticus 26, 18 through 19, God warned that if they would not obey Him, if they would not obey His word, He would break down their pride of power. Man, it can get rough out there when God starts breaking down the power of your pride, breaking down your strength. Look at me, I did it. God says, I'm about to break you down on that. How many of you have liked it when you're in those positions? No. When we're not daily in the Word of God, allowing God to protect us and grow us and mold us, when it's not the stepping up path of our life, we will magnify ourselves, no doubt about it, and pride will set in to our life. In our pride, what do? We overestimate our strength to resist the devil. We overestimate our strength to resist sin. And then we fall like Solomon. Remember, even Peter, who in his pride said to Jesus, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. You remember that? Man, when we start walking in our own pride and our own strength, it's not long before down we go. We're weak apart from Christ. Pride in this context that thinks they alone are the source and reason of all they accomplish, and they can make it on their own, is the one, everyone, who has forgotten God and thus does not exalt Him as God and give Him all the glory to His name. The two things Israel did, they forgot God, their Savior, and they did not exalt the true God of the Bible. Oh, we got to learn from that. We got to say, oh, Spirit, oh, Lord, let me be different than that. The thing is, everybody, we must understand something. By mouth, they did exalt God. By mouth, they exalted Him. But in their heart and in their action, they forgot Him. They forgot His word, and they exalted themselves. There is a song that says, I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I would be what I wanted to be. I thought I could live on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Now the writer of the song is starting to get it. I thought I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make sense, make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain is too high. The valley is too wide. So down on my knees, I learned how to stand because I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That is the posture of humility that God says we should have. When we get to that point, we are then where we should be and in the place where we can be all we should be. In His power and His strength. What is it, my friends, that God delights in? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Well, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, there's that loyalty to God, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what God delights in. For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the haughty, he knows them from afar. Wow. Where does God, everybody, dwell? For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit to revive the spirit of the lowly. Wow, where does he dwell? With those who walk with him in humility. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Proverbs 29:23. Lowly in spirit in Isaiah is the very same word, humble, in Proverbs 29:23. People full of themselves, they have a distinct problem. Do you know what that problem is when you're full of yourself? You have no room for God. But the wise person who truly knows God, who truly knows the Word, will humbly walk with God, knowing that that's the delight of Him. And they delight in Him, and they allow God to freely dwell and live within them. I want that in my life. I am powerless and useless without it. Think about this. When you really know the magnificent, omnipotent, glorious, and holy God, how anyone in their right mind could take any credit to themselves with what they have done is not only unwise, we must recognize it as sinfully proud. Everything we have here is by His grace. So we've seen when the Word of God is not the path of your life, these results will happen just like it did for Israel. For Israel, in step one, they forgot God's grace. Step two, they magnified themselves. The third step, then they mixed with the nations. Ephraim mixes himself with the nations, Hosea 7:8. Ephraim, as we have seen, is another name for the northern kingdom of Israel. We've seen that. Guess what? Bottom line, it's this. They did what they felt like. They did what they felt like, not what God commanded. Psalm 106, 35 through 39 spells it out very succinctly. Look at these downward steps. But they mingled with the nations and they learned their practices. Okay, they're mingling and learning. Then, and served their idols, which became a snare to them. Now they're serving their idols. Then they even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean in their practices, and they played the harlot in their deeds. Oh, mixing with sin. You recall when we looked at Solomon early on that the violation of this command caused what? Remember? Even him to fall. I don't know about you, but I'm humble enough to know I'm no Solomon. I'm not the wisest man in the world. Even him fell. The wives he took from the nations, the Bible tells us, turned his heart, and that is the issue. We must realize it's a heart issue. And again, Solomon disregarded God's word, and so did Israel. So when the word of God is not the path of your life, you too will mix with the world. And you will start sowing seeds of sin. You will forget God's very grace in your life. You will start elevating your own pride. And you will start mixing with the world. Wow. But when the words of God are the path of your life, by loving Him, by learning, by abiding in Him and living out His word, you will be Holy Spirit wise because you will do a few things. You will watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life, Proverbs 4:23. The lost world we live in under this prince, the devil, is trying to turn our hearts away from God all the time. And the more we mingle, the more we intertwine with the world, the more success it will have in turning our hearts to the gods, the world champions. And it will turn our heart away from the one true and only God, our Savior, who seeks all of my heart, who seeks all of me. The wise person who truly knows God is holy, who desires his people to be holy, will not allow the world's culture to mold and conform him. As God's word is his path, you will not be conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will be able to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. But you can't do it apart of the Holy Spirit being in his word. Do you want to be able to do that? You see, the wise person in the word of God knows that the greater our separation from the world's sins and its ways, the greater will be our intimacy with our Savior. Our intimacy with Lord God Almighty. And when the words of God are the path of your life, you will come out from among their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and you will not touch what is unclean. And God says, I will welcome you. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, we will cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear of God. Oh, my word, what God's word does in our life. But sadly, I'm afraid that there is more world in us than we ever hoped to have. But God can do something about that if we submit ourselves to them, him. So these same dangers, everybody, apply to us that happened to Israel when they forgot God's word and it did not be the path of your life. And they took these downward steps. They forgot God's grace. They magnified themselves. They mixed with the nation. And a big step. From there, this is what happens. They stopped listening to God. They stopped listening to God. Oh, my word. This is a terribly unwise position to be in. This causes catastrophe in one's life. You with me? Hosea 4:10 and 9:17. They will eat but not have enough. They will play the harlot but not increase. Because why? They have stopped giving heed to the Lord. My God will cast them away because they have not listened to him, and they will become wanderers among the nations. When the word of God is not the path of our life, it will ultimately result with you not listening to him in his word. Wow, I've been there in my life. How about you all? I spend all my time in counseling, majority of the time, in this area. In this area. They don't listen to the word of God. Over time, when that happens, the voice of culture will begin to drown out the voice of the Lord. Whose voice has supremacy in your life? Of course, by listening, listen now, Hosea didn't mean they just stopped hearing because they were deaf and didn't have their ears on. The fact of the matter is multitudes can go to church. Multitudes can come to church. Read the Bible from time to time. Listen to sermons. Sit through Sunday school with no heart to obey. Hosea himself was there pleading with them for God. Do you see that this is a plea from your Lord? His love for you is so amazing. He doesn't want to be forgotten. He wants you to listen to him, because when we listen to God, isn't that the very best thing for our lives? God has our best interest at heart. They stopped listening in the sense that they did not have the heart to listen and obey. Thus, they rebelled against God's law. How many Christians harbor anger towards others and refuse to forgive? They don't listen to God. How many Christians live their life where they're never in the Word and they're watching and listening and doing things they should not be doing? They've magnified themselves and they're stopping listening to God. How many of us rob from God and steal from God, yet we ask God for all our blessings and then turn right around and take credit for it? This person has stopped listening to God. These are terrible positions for us to be in when we elevate ourselves and we allow sin to rule in our life. And next thing you know, we become deceived. We are self-deceived. We say, no, I don't want any of that. Listen to what happened to Israel, because God's word was not their path. Hosea 8:12 says, though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, they are regarded as a strange thing. Israel became so ignorant of God's word that, man, those God's word's a strange thing. You hear all the time, be in the word every day. Be in the word every day. I want you to know something. You may know this already, but did you know that wisdom principle of being in the word every day is an abiding principle straight from the very words of God? There's a very big reason. Did you know this? That God required any king that would sit upon the throne to read a copy of the law all the days of his life? The king was to read a copy of the law every day. Every day. It says, it, the law, shall be with him, the king, and he shall read it all the days of his life. Why? Why do that? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes. My, oh my. When we're in God's word, we have a healthy reverence for who he is. Our heart's desire will start to change from the Lord, and this will start becoming our request. Oh, Lord, establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. The daily reading of the word produces in you reverence for God, resulting in observing what he tells you to do, because his will is your desire, and you love God more than you love yourself. God's word is the only wise path to follow. The less we know of his word, the more we're going to forget his grace. The more we're going to magnify ourselves, the more we will mix with the world and, believe me, start conforming to its sin. And ultimately, the less and less we will listen to the Lord, the less there will be a reverence for God. There will be no fear of God, a knowledge of God. You see, it's God's word that can shape our moral values to his values. It's God's word that through the Holy Spirit just shapes our wills to his will. It's God's word where we become the clay as we truly are, as he is the potter. Wow, It can turn us from anarchy to godliness. Without this path of God, His Word, you will not have a knowledge of Him that is the praise and the passion of your life. You will not have a loyalty to Him as your aim. You will not sow to the Spirit as the very choice of your life. But the more we listen to Him and the more we abide in His Word, the more we will know Him, the more we will revere Him, the more we will adore Him and love Him, and the wiser we will be in our knowledge, our loyalty, and our sowing. And you will reap. You will reap a great harvest from God. Talk about wisdom, everybody, as we close out here today shortly. Talk about wisdom. Did you know that in 1697, the General Court of Massachusetts ordered that every community of 50 families to have a school to teach children to read? So, if you're a community of 50 or more, there was a law that all children must be taught to read. Was it so that they could just be successful in life and go make all the money that they can make? Why did they do this? Listen to this language. Because it being the chief project of the old deluder Satan to keep men from the knowledge of the Scriptures, efforts must be made to thwart this old deluder. So teach the children to read the Word of God. In 1777, our Continental Congress voted an expenditure of $300,000 to buy copies of the Bible, and they were to be distributed throughout the country and in every school. Today, the Supreme Court has made a rule which, in effect, forbids the Gideons to give away Bibles to school children on public school property. And sadly, in 1963, the Supreme Court put a ban on Bible reading and prayer in the public schools. God's Word is for the ages. The very same steps down will be repeated over and over again if God's Word is not the path of a nation's life and a path of the individual's life. We are a nation that has, it seems, stopped listening to God, and we are paying and will pay the price for that if we don't repent. We must turn to God. We must be who He's called us to be, His church in this dark world. Amen. We have a nation and people who think they are wise in their own eyes. They are on the path to not only worldly ruin, but also the path to spiritual suicide, which is spiritual death. Oh my, do we not know that it's ultimately about one's life after this life? There is only one choice that is right to make, and that is the path of God's Word, pointing us to who God is, who Jesus is, what He did, what we're to do, how we're to live, who we're to submit to, and reap the blessed life. And this is what we should want and hope for the whole world, for everyone. The wise who truly know the Lord are never ignorant of His Word like Israel. The Word is not a strange thing. How can Christians be Christians for 20 plus years and you talk to them about God's Word and they go, oh, I didn't know that. Really? I didn't know that most elemental truth. What are they really saying to you? I don't know God's Word. Is it any wonder why I'm having these issues? When God's Word is your path, it won't be strange. It will be the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing in your life. The Word of God should be our spiritual food. For man does not live by food alone, but by every single word that comes down from above. And those words from above are the Word of God. Do you all love the Word of God? So never, let me encourage you, never allow anything to cause you to stop listening to God. Never allow anything to cause you to remove His Word as the path of your life. Not the culture around you, no matter what happens. Not the skeptics and the scoffers who by Satan want to teach you that it's not true. Nor by any trial, nor by any trouble, nor by any persecution, nor by any sorrow or hardship. Ever let Satan rip the Word of God out of your life. Here is wisdom talking. This is wisdom speaking. The personal pronouns in this verse in the context is wisdom. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, speaking God's word daily, waiting at my doorpost, hunger for it. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. Listen, you see those last words? All those who hate me love death. Man, does God just speak the truth? Does he just speak the truth? Don't you see that he wants the best for us? I pray we are learning and applying these wisdom principles. So as we said up front, these are the steps Israel took downward. Wow. When they neglected and forgot God's word. Praise team, come on up here. Yet these same steps, everyone, if reversed, and God can reverse them in your life if need be, can be used to climb upward, to soar closer and closer where God would have you be, and in closer relationship to Him. Amen? Every day this week, challenge yourself to be in the Word and to make the Word the path of your life. When you're there in the Word, remember God's amazing grace and praise Him with thankful hearts. Every day, then, magnify Him, lift Him up, and give Him all the glory. Let's make a decision to renew our determination to live on the narrow road that leads to a life separated from sin, from the broad road that leads to destruction. Get off that path. And every day, while you're in God's Word, get in His Word and listen with a heart ready to hear. I'm here, Lord, and I'm ready to hear. I'm here and I want to hear. So be with me here. You hear what I'm saying? You hear me? And Lord, I want to obey. And in doing so, we will enter the richness of the fellowship with Him, the love of Him that we would have never known apart from His Word if we had not been fully committed to Him. So let's commit to Him. Remember this week, the wise person will make knowing God the very praise and passion of their life. The wise person will make loyalty to God the very aim of their life. The wise person will make sowing to the Spirit the choice of their life. And the wise person will make the Word of God the only path of their life. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Oh, Lord, wisdom comes from you. Lord, I thank you that your word is the word for the ages. It is just as relevant today. I pray, Lord, that we submit to your word. Oh, Lord, please forgive us when we trample on and forget your grace. Forgive us, Lord, in our arrogance and pride when we take your credit and rob you of glory. Lord, let that not be in us. Lord, forgive us when we mix with the world, this world of sin, and allow it to permeate in our life. Oh, and Lord, anywhere in our life where we are failing to listen to you, forgive us. Oh, Lord, we want to magnify you. We want to magnify you. Oh, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be in your word. Lord, make it the path of our life. We give you all praise and all glory, and we thank you for your warnings because you love us. We thank you that you give them to us because you want the best for us. Oh, Lord, may we humbly come before you and bow at your throne and allow you to be the God of our choices, to be the God that we follow every step of the way. I pray for everyone here today and those tuning in that they will choose to take steps up following your word. And I thank you for your grace and your mighty loving kindness and your overwhelming mercy, where you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, where we need to start again, make it anew. Where we're doing and following and serving you, make us stronger. But Lord, build us and mold us into your image, and may we be mightily used in the world today. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.